Well, we're going to go through a short section of 2 Philippians, just a few verses this week. But as I was just looking through Philippians, I heard a story this week, and it kind of reminded me of Philippians. It was about, apparently a true story, a fighter pilot in a training exercise, and they go through such a vigorous exercise, it's unbelievable. It was described that this female pilot flying an F-15, is it F-16? They were flying in this great big valley, and as the aeroplane comes down, as this jet comes down, it flies very, very close to the ground, just above ground level. Now, if that would get your adrenaline going, then on top of that, in pitch darkness, that is the exercise that that they were carrying out on that. So basically, you've got to fly by the instruments. You can't fly by the seat of your pants because it's basically just pitch black. There's nothing out there. This valley is pitch black. And therefore, this pilot was navigating through at these colossal speeds and saw that the instrument panel said that there was terrain ahead, and therefore pulled back on the controls to climb, and immediately, bang, she went straight into the ground with tragic consequences. And I believe this is a true story. And they say that probably with the adrenaline and everything that was going off and the sheer concentration, they don't think it was a failure of the instruments, but a misinterpretation of what the instruments were saying. So she pulled back to go up and actually went, because basically what she was doing was flying upside down without knowing it. That was the thing. And therefore, I thought about that because Philippians that we're going to have a look at this morning is all upside down. And we can go through life flying upside down and sometimes without even knowing it, because the kingdom of God is upside down compared to the world in which we live in. It's often called the upside down kingdom. You've probably heard that expression. Just to give you an example of what I mean by that, Jesus said, if you want to receive, then give it away. Now, where's the sense in that? If you want to be first, you've got to be last. If you want to be a leader, you've got to be a servant. If you want to be strong, you've got to be weak. If you want to gain your life, you've got to lose your life. And you probably think of lots of others of those Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount. And it seems that the world's values are quite opposite to the values that we hear about in Scripture and that we try to follow in our Christian lives. The world wants to climb the ladder, doesn't it? That's what it's talking about. I think basically what every single individual wants on earth is to be happy. And there are lots of different ways to try to attain happiness. And people do try different routes. And one of them is to get on better in life, to accumulate more things in life. Bigger, better popularity, climb the social ladder, climb the corporate ladder. And actually, when you think about it, that seems common sense, doesn't it? If you want to be happy, the more you have, the better things you have. That seems logical. But the kingdom is totally the opposite. If we could just put Philippians, this is why it reminded me of this. This is probably the ultimate example of upside downness. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Now, just to get the context here, what the Apostle Paul is talking about is writing to the Christians in Philippi, and he's saying, I want you to be united. Above all else, just be united, and that will take humility. And then he said, to be united, you've got to have this. You should have the same mind as Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, took the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross! Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, that is the ultimate of this upside down, of this reversal that takes place. Jesus was at the highest place and went to nothing. You cannot get a more bigger contrast than that. There is nothing in fiction that comes anywhere close to the real truth of the incarnation. There really isn't. It is so extreme. And that's what worries me. Because the Apostle Paul said, if you're going to be unified, you have to have the same mind as what Christ Jesus had. Would I die for others? Would I lose my standard in status in life for something that is far less than that? Mark Twain put up, he said, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. That's so true, isn't it? You know, if you're around a person that is perfect, how annoying is that? It's so annoying. I took up golf about 4 years ago, and I'm just not a natural. I just don't get better at it. And I used to go out with Mike and a few others, and as we went to the golf course, I'd never go first because I knew my limited ability. And as Mike went up there, he's going to take the first shot off the tee, and I'm actually in the background praying that he's going to hit a duff shot. If it goes up into the trees or... You're not aware of that, Mike, are you? Because, and invariably, what Mike would do is get positioned and hit a lovely clean shot, great loft, land on the green just a few yards from the pin. And I thought, oh, shall I carry on? I've not even started. And I found that so discouraging. And the kingdom of God is just... the other way around, isn't it? Or it is actually like that in the sense that we are expected to follow a perfect, supreme example. And I've got to say that this can seem very, very hard, and it challenges me. Whenever we talk about, if you want to receive something, you've got to give it away, that's illogical. What do you see? People outside just don't get that. It just seems... illogical, no common sense in that whatsoever. And that is what it's like living in this upside down kingdom. Don't expect people to necessarily get that, because that's not always the case. But a very important point I want to make here is that when we do live with kingdom values, this upside down kingdom, the things that Jesus taught, God sees it the kingdom way up. It may look unimpressive and stupid to others, but when we live by kingdom values, to God it is a masterpiece. It is absolutely beautiful. He sees our works because that is his mind on it. And that little clip there just reminded me of that. And that is an important point, because God can then bless it because this is his mind and we're operating according to his will and not our own. But the thing is, I said earlier that actually I get a little bit challenged by this example of Christ because it's too superlative for me to even get close to it. But you know, looking at Jesus as example, there is no power in that. No power in that whatsoever. In fact, you're probably going to have the contrary thing to it, because basically... we'll just get discouraged. We'll get disheartened. We'll just think it's another set of rules to follow. There is no power in the example. The power is knowing what Jesus has already done for us. Remember, through this, Jesus took our sins so that we don't have to. God sees us as righteous. Christ was rejected. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? So the Apostle Paul could later say, my God, God said to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus was rejected by family, friends, and even outcast by God so that we would never be rejected by God. We would never be forsaken. Jesus died that we might live and live for all eternity, which is just a wonderful thing, isn't it? So that is the ultimate reversal. And Jesus never intended us to do it in our own strength. It's impossible. Do you remember, I think we made reference to it this morning, Jesus said, he says, I'm going away and I'm going to send you a helper. The Holy Spirit will be with you. The Holy Spirit will reside in you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you and guide you and teach you. We're not doing it in our own strength. And Jesus said those beautiful words, you'll recall, where he said, if you feel weighed down and loaded down, he says, come and take my yoke upon you. Take the kingdom yoke, he says. And that gives us this beautiful sense that, in effect, what Jesus is saying is, let's do this thing together. I know you can't do it on your own. Let's walk together doing this. Saw a DVD recently. I think it was for the Partnership Group Leaders, and it was this theologian. I forget his name. Tim Keller. Not Tim Weller, Tim Keller. And he was saying that if we seek happiness just in itself, you probably will not find it. And we see that around us. People look for happiness. It's a basic need. And they will try all sorts of different things, but maybe never actually get true happiness. However, he says, when we seek the kingdom of God, happiness almost comes automatically as a byproduct, as the result of that. And I thought that was such a powerful point. So we're not on our own. Jesus wants to be in this with us. Just so we take this entire section in itself, notice the outcome of this. In the story of the cross was a crown. It says, therefore, verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We can accept Jesus as Lord now by faith. But the time will come where every single breathing thing will have to accept that Jesus is Lord. And I used to puzzle over these. I used to think, how come at some time everyone is going to accept Jesus? Well, it doesn't mean they're going to accept Jesus. What it means is that they will know that he's Lord. We can do it now by faith, but the time will come where everybody has to do it by sight on the last day. Yes, there is a place such as hell that the Bible speaks of, but there will be no atheists. There will be no agnostics in hell. Everybody will know without doubt that Jesus is Lord, whether they want to submit to that or not. And we have the opportunity, don't we, to be able to submit to that voluntarily. The time will come when it will be involuntary. But we can actually submit to that and say, yes, this kingdom living is the source of our true happiness. This is God's mind and this is the way we want to be. And so a good question really to ask ourselves this morning is, do I see the value of this upside down kingdom living? Now, for some of us here, maybe we have accepted Jesus as our Lord. Maybe some of us haven't and are not at that place yet. Maybe some of us a long time ago accepted Jesus as Lord, but only in some aspects of our lives. Now, that's an interesting point, because if I reflect back on my Christian life, I can say that, yes, I invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life and most of the parts of my life. But maybe there have been little areas where I've thought, no, I'll be the Lord of that. Jesus, you can be the God of this, but I'll be the God of this little bit. Like, say, for example, finances. That may be because I was brought up in Yorkshire. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? There are these little areas that maybe we will not let go of. And we say, no, I need control of that. And Jesus is saying, I'll be the Lord of all aspects of your life. So my invitation is this morning, why not ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life? If you've already done that, why not say, Jesus, I need your help and I give you permission. Jesus won't intrude, he'll knock on the door, but he'll wait for us to open it. I give you permission to come into this aspect of my life that I've not surrendered to you. And please, by means of your Holy Spirit, will you give me the strength to make you the Lord of my life in every aspect of my life? And how you go about that, if that is a challenge to you, it's a challenge to me. How you go about that is entirely up to you. But what I will say is, if anybody wanted to pray about that, there is a prayer team here that would just love to pray with you. And just to say, yeah, I recognize something, but I need help. We can put that to God. Jesus is waiting for us to give him permission. He will not force it. And therefore, that's a good thought for us to go away with this morning.